around the 60-minute mark, there was a weird edit because we had some technical difficulties. Rather than you listen to us try to solve it for 2 minutes, we just went ahead and cut it out. So it sounds a little weird. But other than that, and everything is great. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the IT Babble Podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody. It's the IT Babble Podcast. We have a very, very special show for us. We have a special guest. Woo. But as always, I'm joined by my good friend, colleague, Tony DiPreto. Tony, how are the M&Ms down in Houston?
The M&Ms are pretty good. I would say they're standard. Everyone is, as you know, focused on some kind of baseball game.
Yes.
Not really sure what that's all about. And yeah, but I'm podcasting in my vehicle tonight because I was out running an errand. And I can also say that the line at Chick-fil-A is still huge, even though there's a World Series.
Awesome. Awesome. And Tony, we have a common, we have a special guest tonight, a friend of ours. So
yeah, we do. We have Mr. Keith Wurzbacher. He did let me use his name. Okay. Keith is an attorney in Cincinnati, and he's our friend. Keith has almost no sense of humor. So, you know, you're going to just have to get through it. We're just going to let him talk. And, but we had an interesting topic that had come up in a large, very large user group down here in Texas, pretty much all the independent schools. And I was reading some of their responses and I was so shocked. I'm like, I need to get an authority in to answer this one question. It's just one question. So Keith agreed. And yeah, I'm just going to shut up and let him talk when it's time. That's my plan.
All right. All right. So Keith, how are you doing? How's Cincinnati?
Well, Cincinnati's doing wonderful, you know. The Bengals are 0-8, so that's great. And we had a new quarterback, which is even better. So things are trending up for Cincinnati sports.
They're 0-8. That's better than last year.
Well, believe it or not, they started out 4-0 last year, and then proceeded to win, I think, one more game. I think they're 1-15 over the last 16 games, which is pretty terrible. So yeah,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So speaking of sports, who's going to win Game 7 of the World Series predictions? I haven't really been following baseball for the past decade, so
it seems like Houston is winning more away, doesn't it?
Well, like nobody's won a home game in the World Series this year. Every game has been won on the road, so kind of weird.
I feel like this is all a setup and it's fake.
Conspiracy. Keith,
what don't you just make more money if you go to 7 games?
Well, that's true, yeah.
Well, you do. I thought he was trying to get it was a conspiracy because of the whole shark thing. Because, you know, Washington, their players became they started playing that shark, the childhood shark song. I don't know what the name of it is.
But oh, my God, Baby Shark.
Tony probably does.
Dude, Baby Shark got me through a road trip, but it gets in your head.
Yeah. Ooh.
So
it's Korean. It's Korean.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it was Anthony Rendon. I could be wrong about that, but I think he just, as a joke, played it like when he was going with the bat some point in time during the season, and then it just kind of took off from there. So then it's like during the second half of the season, they started playing it at all the Nationals games, and people started doing all kinds of shark things, and they started putting shark stuffed animals on their dugout. If you notice those, so
man,
the power of the shark. Maybe
Baby Shark makes my baby happy, I even rewrote some of the lyrics so that his name is in them, and I sing it that way. So
Well, there you go. So are the Baby Shark Nationals going to win, or
I don't know. I have no idea. Everybody was mad today because apparently the pitcher did the same thing he did in game 2 and they won't pull him out And I was like, maybe it's because of Moneyball. I didn't know what I was talking about. I said that and walked away.
Well, one thing I'm convinced of is that the Detroit Tigers will not win tonight. The Detroit Tigers are not going to win this evening, the World Series.
As will the Cincinnati Reds will not win as well.
This is true. But the Cincinnati Reds have a great ballpark, the Great American Ballpark. All three of us took in a game there not too long ago, and it was a good time.
We did. Patrick, do you have anything else before we get into the big question?
Well, we could talk about Halloween, but I think we can skip that and just jump right into this this big question that we have an actual board certified lawyer here to advise us.
Right. You know, I am the expert, according to Tony, in this.
Keith, before we, in all seriousness, because I'm actually going to try to get, get this out. I think it's important. I'm sorry if people are offended if I said your answers shocked me, but they did. They frightened me. Can you just give everyone just a little bit of background and let them know, like, what kind of law you practice and the types of things that you specialize in?
Sure. Well, I mean, the three areas of law that I've had the most experience in, which happens to coincide very well with this topic, is I've had experience with data privacy. I've had experience with employment law, particularly employment litigation. So seeing kind of the various things that come up there during the sort of things that employers should generally try to avoid so they don't end up in litigation. And then intellectual property, which I don't know that this topic necessarily gets involved with that. Those are the three areas.
I would say that is a grand slam for the qualifications.
I think you need four. Do you need four topics for a grand slam?
I don't know.
Maybe.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe. So, okay, it's an inside the park home run. I'm just trying to use some baseball terms.
All right, Tony.
All right, Patrick.
What? Because you tell me. Well, I've got it here, and okay, here we go. Can a school give a school email to people who do not work at the school or are associated with the school? Is that correct, Tony? Is that the topic?
Yeah. So. Should or can schools create an email address for people who are not employed by the school or formerly associated with the school?
Right. Well, you know, I don't know of any reason why they can't do it from a law perspective, like in terms of like, I don't think they're violating the law by doing it. But the better question is, should they do it? And that is the answer, in my opinion, would be probably not, because there's a lot of different issues that come up when you do that. And so, you know, I just kind of jotted down a few of the things that I thought about that could be of concern. And the first one that came to my mind was like, if you have an email address and it's a parent, you know, one of the things that you have to be concerned about is, you know, their expectation of privacy with that email. And, you know, to give an example offhand is like, what if they take the email address and they start using it more on a personal level and they get into a lawsuit and they're communicating with their attorney through that? You know, that raises all kinds of issues in terms of attorney-client privilege and, you know, whether or not the school has the right to view the emails, you know, and the content of the emails, particularly if the school hasn't really come out in a policy and explained to the parent that it's an email address that can at any time be viewed by the school. You know what I mean? It's set that there is no expectation of privacy. They're just giving the email address for school-related purposes. So I'm sensing that probably a lot of these schools are not doing that, which is problematic. The other issue is like, as I mentioned, you know, like if you have a parent that uses the email address and somehow the contents of that email get pulled into a lawsuit, there's all kinds of discovery related issues that would go on because the school, you know, I don't know what school's general retention policy is for these emails, but you know, not only then are you, you already have to deal with those kind of concerns for your own, you know, regular in the course of business with the teachers and the students, but now you're opening it up to having to deal with what the parents are doing in their, with their emails and having to potentially, you know, keep those emails saved up in the event that somehow down the line there's a lawsuit that's not related to the school, but some attorney during the discovery process wants to view these email addresses. And that just seems like a burden that I wouldn't want to necessarily be have to worry about. Another issue is that whenever you give an email address for your business to somebody, whether it be a non-employee or a contractor, but the email address looks like it's coming from, I guess there's nothing in the email that would indicate to a third party that that person isn't working for the school, then you could potentially end up in a situation where that third party believes that a parent has apparent authority to commit the school to some sort of obligation. You know, it could be a business obligation. It could be like a fundraising obligation. You know, who knows? But the third party would see that and say, well, that person, because they have that email address, must have the authority of the school to actually make this agreement, when in fact they don't. And that creates problems. And then the last thing that I thought about, which is...
Yeah, so Keith, let me ask you a question. Let's say that a school gets in a situation where they, you know, an employee has used their school email for like social media, and then that gets somehow caught up and there's a big push, and some lawyer outside of the school is requesting the data, and there's a fight back and forth. How many hours do you think a school has to invest legally to solve even the most minor of problems?
Well, let me... Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yep, can hear you.
So... You know, it would just depend. I mean, the bigger concern would be there. I mean, it's, you know, there would be some issues that they would probably have to hire a public relations firm to fix that aspect of the reputation that was damaged. Now, if there was like a lawsuit that was filed because a parent or someone else, you know, posted something to social media, then they're going to have to deal with, you know, like in discovery there, they might want to try to get the other emails that the parent has sent just to see if there's more. And, you know, that would cost the school money to have to be involved in all that. So, not to mention, presumably, they probably would have to hire their own attorney if they don't have one already. I mean, some schools already have attorneys they work with. So, but I mean, it seems like a risk that's not worth whatever benefit is provided by giving the parents' email addresses, because I'm not even sure what the benefit is. So,
right. So there's two. I just want to clarify. There's basically two kinds of things we've been talking about. One, people not associated with the school being given an address that has the school's domain at, and then whatever the school is, that could be a parent or a contractor or anyone. And then secondly, employees at the school who have a school domain for work, but they're using it for something personal. Both of those can basically result in the same problem.
Sure. You know, I mean, if you, any employee, when you've got a work email address, should be cognizant that anything that they send out or any post that they make involving, that could end up on social media with that email address, could result in, you know, blowback on their employer. and could result in them getting terminated ultimately, because, you know, that would be up to the employer to have the ability to do that. But that's why the school should, or any employer really should, make sure that they are clear in terms of what the expectations are with regards to a employee email address. The second one, you know, like if you have an independent contractor that you give an email address to, it's better if you're doing that to make sure that in the name, it's clear that it's an independent contractor. So like you could do like the name of the person dot something that would make it pretty clear that they're not really an employee of the school, that they're just an independent contractor. So that when somebody else sees that, they're like, oh, they're not a school employee. They're somehow a contractor. And the same thing could be done if you really wanted to give email addresses to parents, then you could do the same thing for a parent. And that would at least allow people to see that they're not direct employees at the school.
Right. I understand.
Hmm.
And also, I know what a lot of people are saying right now who are just annoyed, maybe at me for bringing this topic up. They're like, you know, if you use Google Apps, you can do A, B, and C and control this. It's true. You can do things in Google Apps. Like, for example, I could make a organizational unit for contractors, put them all in there, and go in there and say, you don't have access to the school-wide like contact list. I could do that. And then one day when Google makes an update and I'm not paying attention and I click something and accidentally turn that on, all those contractors can email students now. And they haven't gone through any of the child safety training. So you can do all these things, but when you get busy and you're in some of these like dashboards that have like 1,000 options, literally 1,000 options.
Yep.
You can make a single mistake as a systems administrator, and for a day or a week or whatever, you've got a bunch of people who now have access to data they're not supposed to have. Because, Patrick, how many times do we share stuff based on organizational unit? Like, if you're in this organizational unit, you can see all these files.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know? we do it all the time. I accidentally had set it up to where our fourth graders could receive emails from outside of our domain. And it doesn't sound like a big deal.
But it is.
But
it's easy to do.
It's easy to do because I meant to do it for our eighth grade OU. And I checked it and I saved it. And all of a sudden I had an eighth grade teacher said, I thought you, you know, because they were trying to make Prezi accounts. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. They were supposed to, you know, get a confirmation email from Prezi. But the way it was set up, they wouldn't get it. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then I realized, oh, my gosh. I had this unblocked for fourth graders for an entire day. Here, let me block that for fourth graders and then unblock it for eighth graders. And it's just, you're right. You're very easy to get in the wrong OU or, yeah, it can be very convoluted.
I also think if you're working with a vendor and it's a business and you're paying them, you know, they should have some facility for working with customers. I think that should be like kind of just a base requirement. I mean, you know, spread the wealth around to different companies, fine, but like base requirement, a way to contact them that doesn't put you in any type of bad situation.
Yes. Yes. That's wow. I never thought about the deep legal ramifications of this. This is pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah. You know, I've only really seen, I've seen some bad stuff happen at other schools, but for me, the worst one was, I don't know if you remember this, Patrick. Some lady we used to work with, she bound her school email to her Facebook, and she went on vacation. And her temporary person that came in was instructed to use this lady's like username and password, because basically she was the receptionist, and so they didn't want to tell anybody the receptionist was gone. So like, let's just say Mary Smith went on vacation and Jane came in and Jane was given Mary Smith's credentials. Well, Jane and Mary knew each other, and the whole time Mary was on vacation, she was talking badly about Jane, and Jane was reading all those messages because they were coming in to the inbox, And then she just got up and quit and just like walked out. And that actually happened. And the superintendent called me and I'm like, she's like, yeah, something with Facebook. And I looked into it and that wasn't the policy. Like the policy wasn't that you gave somebody your credentials. That was absolutely what you're not supposed to do. But instead of coming to me and like working it out so that the information that parents would send into the school was just redirected to the right email, they just like came up with this own awesome idea on their own. And this person quit. She quit. She was the lady on vacation, obviously hated her and used every day on vacation just to make fun of her. Like that actually happened. I read some of these messages. They were horrible. And then when she came back, I explained it to her. I'm like, you can't connect your school account to your Facebook. Like, I'm like, you know, technically I can read that. You know, and she was shocked. So, yeah, funny maybe in hindsight, but at the time it wasn't funny.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of funny
and
now.
And then the lady that was on vacation said she was hacked.
What? No, no, that's such a lie. That stuff.
Hacked. I was hacked.
Gosh.
Hacked.
I don't know. I get that from kids all the time. Somebody stole my computer or somebody hacked my email. No, no, they didn't. You wrote that. Nobody wrote. Come on. You wrote that, John.
Do you have any other questions for Keith before we cut him loose?
Yeah. How much does IT Babble owe you for the 30 minutes we've taken of your time?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, there. See, folks, lawyers aren't all bad out there. Keith is living proof. Pro bono work right here, and really great advice too.
Right. Well, you
that's
know,
good because no one listens to us. So
yeah,
they should though.
They yeah. Should. Well, I suppose I should say that this is all general advice, and that if somebody really wants to get more in depth legal opinion, they should go actually consult an attorney and for paid legal advice. So. That's my disclaimer.
And if you don't watch, or sorry, if you don't have a lot of money, watch Judge Judy because that'll set you straight.
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, gosh, I think that pretty much wrapped. That was a great topic. That was awesome, actually. Before we go, any Halloween plans for everybody? Anybody out there? Anybody doing anything tomorrow on the spooky holiday?
I'm making 3D printed pumpkins at work, and I'm putting LEDs in them with watch batteries and handing them out as gifts.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Keith, are you doing anything special?
I will be handing out candy to the children that come by my house.
Keith lives on a very busy street for kids.
Yeah, but the weather here in Cincinnati tomorrow is supposed to be not very good. It's supposed to be rainy and windy, and the temperature's supposed to drop, so we'll see how many children actually, you know, brave the conditions. So,
yeah.
Well, give them candy corn. That can survive any weather.
Candy corn.
That's true.
It's great. I don't know why people hate it. It's like one of my favorites. Yeah.
I think I could 3D print that, and it would taste the same.
Please do, and send me a bag. I'm in Indianapolis, which has very similar weather to Cincy, and we're going to try to brave the elements tomorrow and take our kids trick-or-treating. We live in an apartment complex, and we bought a bunch of candy our first year here, and apparently nobody trick-or-treats in our apartment complex, so we didn't pass out one piece of candy, not one piece of candy all night. Nobody showed up, so it was a little sad, but...
Apparently, in Houston, people go to parking lots and open their trunks, and the kids just go around these huge parking lots with, like, thousands of cars.
Dancing.
I don't know if that's what that's I heard. Called, I'm going to check it out.
That's called bumper tree. That's what that's called.
Bumper
that
tree.
That is true. That's what, yeah.
Trunk or tree.
Oh, trunk or tree. Oh, you know, I saw a sign for that. There was a church nearby that was doing that. Trunk or tree.
So I think they... So they do that here in Cincinnati, too, and sometimes it's an extra thing where they do it on the weekend, usually before Halloween. I know that in some place, but sometimes I think they also do it because, I mean, if you do live in an apartment complex, I think it's easier to go to like a trunk or treat and get candy than try to, you know, go out and find some residential neighborhood to walk around in.
That's true. It's also incredibly creepy just on its own because it's in a trunk.
But it's on Wikipedia, so it's obviously a real thing.
Yeah.
Trunk or
all right.
Treat.
Well, thanks a lot, Keith. That was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. So I have a feeling that this is going to start Tony wanting me to do this more to provide my different thoughts on things. So,
well, it keeps me from having to come up with topics. So
there you go.
But anyway, for IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And keep on babbling out there. And thanks for stopping by, Keith. Really appreciate it.
Sure. My problem. No problem.
Stop. We had a technical difficulty around the 16-minute mark, and so there is a weird audio cut there. Just letting you know, enjoy the show.